and it's getting late for me, so I'm gonna get going over here. And I wanted to share with you a thought or two or three, maybe a Dvar Torah in the parasha, and one thought that I was having actually, I just had about an hour ago, that I wanted to kind of share. And then just want to wish everyone a good Shabbos. That's really my most important thing I want to accomplish tonight. I'm on this group chat, a couple of group chats, but one of them is called the quote unquote gap year Corona chat. I hate the term gap year, of course, but and on this chat they talk about different things. We get updates, all these fun stuff, and there's a doctor who's who kind of holding an epidemiology and all these different things, and she gives us all these updates. And I was thinking about a Gemara. The Gemara is found in the Samach Aleph and Beis Maseches Brachos, and it's a Gemara that I always had a difficulty understanding. And like this afternoon, like something clicked in my mind, and I'll just share. The Gemara talks about a person. There are different people in the world, and we have a mitzvah, Vahavta Hashem Elokecha. We say in Kriyat Shema, Vahavta Es Hashem Elokecha, that you have to love Hashem. And it says, Bechol Nafshecha Uvechol Me'odecha. You have to love Hashem with all of your nefesh and with all Me'odecha, with all of your money. So the Gemara cites Rabbi Eliezer. Why does it say Bechol Nafshecha? Lama Ne'emar Bechol Nafshecha? Lama Ne'emar Bechol Me'odecha? Why does it say both Nafshecha and Me'odecha? And the Gemara says, well, there are two types of people in the world. There are certain types of people in the world that im yeshcha adam shegufo chaviv alavim mamono. Some people love their life, their bodies. Their life is more important to them than their money. So therefore, the Torah says about such a person, you have to love Hashem b'chol nafshecha, with your entire nefesh, within your entire life. And there are people out there, im yeshcha adam shememono chaviv alav. Sometimes you have people that their money is more important to them than their life, and that's more important. So for those people, the Torah says bechol me'odecha, that you have to worship Hashem with all of your money, with all of your money. So I was always bothered by this Gemara. Like, what does it mean that you have people that love their money more than their life? Like, at the end of the day, how can you love your money more than your life? And it doesn't make sense. Like, you have to love your life more than your money. And thinking about the world right now, and thinking about how different countries are operating, and thinking about decisions that countries are making right now, this is clearly what's going on in the universe. Is countries on a national level are making decisions about life versus money, and what's more important to their value system. We both need money. We need money and we need life. But now countries are like forced to like deal with a fundamental question. You have economies of a country and world economies, and then you have the lives of people. And they're in conflict because if we want to save lives, we shut down the economy and we put everyone indoors and no one goes out and no one works and everyone is protected. If you value money, then we got to get people out. We got to get back to normal. And yes, there'll be sacrifices in life. And this doctor who had addressed us in a recent discussion, so she shared how Sweden versus Israel are dealing with coronavirus. At least the way they were dealing with it 3 4 days ago, and they're about the same size. Sweden has about 10 million citizens. And Israel has 9 million citizens, or thereabouts. And Sweden basically made a decision relatively early on that they were not going to shut down their economy. And they were going to, do a lot of testing and, create herd immunities, but not shut down their economy. And their economy is not shut down. And, economically, they're doing okay. They happen to have, again, not a big country, but they have over 2,000 deaths as of about an hour ago. Israel basically shut down the economy, and a quarter of the economy is now unemployed, and they shut down the economy. And in Israel, we've had, as of an hour ago, 190 deaths, 191 deaths. So again, every death is every death matters, but there's a certain different hashkafa. In other words, is it bechal me'odecha, or is it bechal nafshecha? And Israel certainly, you know, early on made a decision: we're going to shut things down because we were valuing life over other values, over other important things. Other countries took different steps, and now Israel's like really like thinking hard. We're going to open up the economy. Hopefully it's okay. Hopefully it'll turn out okay. But this pull between Bechol Nafshecha and Bechol Me'odecha, which always exists. Any business, you know, you can do things safer and make less money. You can do things a little more risky, make more money. That's always a balance. But here, like, I see, like, I see pshat in the Gemara. That there are people, countries, the world, at some point says, okay, we're going to lose more lives, but you know, we don't care. We got to move forward, and we got to build our economies. And there is a hashkafa of Bechol Me'odecha. I think at the end of the day, in listening to my Rebbe, Rav Asher Weiss, and others, people like Rav Willig and Rav Schechter, they're clearly creating a value and emphasizing the value, more important than davening with a minyan and all these other things, of Bechol Nafshecha, is really, you know, valuing what life, human life, Jewish life, but human life. And this coronavirus has now like gave me pshat in a very, very practical way in this Gemara. I wanted to share two quick ideas on Tazria Metzora, which I think again is very, very relevant. Idea number one: when you look at the Parsha Tazria Metzora, you will notice that the Parsha pretty much, very, very detailed, I'm going to go global, is all about what I call tuma hayotze migufa, tuma that comes out of people's bodies. And I'm going to just list them all. The tumos that come out of a person's body is, the parsha opens up with yoledes. A woman gives birth to a child, she becomes tame. For a boy, 7 days. For a girl, 14 days. You have in this parsha, you have zav, is a male who has some kind of malfunction of his reproductive system, and there's an illness, that's a zav. You have a zava, is the female version of that. Her system, her reproductive system, is not 100%. She's bleeding in a time when she shouldn't be bleeding. Nida is in this week's parsha. We all understand what Nida is about. Balkeri is in this week's parsha. When a man has an emission, that's in this week's parsha. And of course, Tsaras is all over this week's parsha. And the Mefarshim want to understand, these are all different tumos that come out of a person's body. And is there any common theme, any common denominator that links all of these tumos together? And the Sefer HaKuzari, Rav Soloveitchik as well, in his book Halachic Man, and others, all point out there's a common denominator in all tumos that come out of a person. And that is, death equals tumah. Tuma and death go hand in hand. And we all understand that the Avi Avos HaTuma, the ultimate Tuma, the granddaddy of them all, is Tumas Meis. And that's not even found in this week's parasha. But every one of these Tumos has some connection to either death or loss of potential life. And some are very obvious. For example, a Nida and a Balkeri. A Nida is a woman who, she expels her egg that doesn't get fertilized. She becomes a Nida. So there was potential life that doesn't get realized. A man sees Keri. There's potential life. There's a source of life, a source of vitality and energy that doesn't get realized. That triggers Tuma. Zav and Zava, again, a malfunction of the reproductive system. When there's sources of life that do not get realized, that engenders a sense of Tuma. Tsaras, what color does the limb turn when a person becomes Tsaras, Mitzora? His limb turns white. Why does it turn white? Because essentially the limb has died. And once there is death, there is Tuma. The Torah sees death as Tuma generating, as impure. That's the Avi Avos HaTuma. You'll ask me, Akasha, wait a second. You mentioned one of the Tumos was Tumas Yoledes. When a woman has a baby, a boy, 7 days of Tuma, a girl, 14 days, you told me everything is death. That's the opposite of death. And the answer is no. What is the definition of death? The definition of misa, the definition of death, is when there's a severance, a separation between the guf and the neshama. When the life force of the person, the neshama, is severed from the guf, that's death. That's what, when the neshama leaves, that's death. So a yoledes, notice, the yoledes, the woman who has a baby, it's not the baby that becomes tamei. The zachar, the nekeva, they don't become tamei. Who becomes tamei? The mother becomes tamei, because as long as she was carrying that child, this one guf, the mother's guf, one guf was carrying two neshamos. And now the baby is born, there's a separation from that guf of a neshama. There's a loss of a neshama. What we call in Hilchos Shabbos, netilas neshama. She was carrying two neshamos, and now she's carrying only one neshama. So there's a triggering of tumah into the woman. Death equals tumah. And that's an amazing thing to think about, because in some religions, not ours, yeah, we believe in Olam Haba, and we want to do mitzvahs so we can get to Olam Haba. But really, the Ikar Avoda and what it's all about is we are a life-affirming religion. We are about Chayim. And the Torah is a Torah's Chayim, and we're supposed to vechay bohem, and we're supposed to live, and we're supposed to do everything we can. We mechal Shabbos to extend life. And most of Torah is yavor va'al yehorek, because that's where you can have Tara. When a person is alive, and he has vitality, and he has vivaciousness, and he has vim, and he has vigor, that's where tahara can be generated. Water is a source of tahara, because water is a source of life. A running stream, a spring, is a source of life. Mayim chayim is what gives life, and that's really what you know, when I think about, again, as my introduction to hashkafas hachayim, of what our vision should be, even though, yes, it's terrible that economies are collapsing and stock markets are collapsing and people are financially strapped. We have to find solutions. But at the end of the day, one of the core messages is v'chai bohem, is to do everything to protect life, to affirm life. Rav Asher Weiss spoke beautifully about this idea that we have to, our most valued citizens are the elderly, are the Zetas and the Bubbas and the grandparents who gave us everything. And these are the people that we really, really have to protect. So that's one idea I wanted to share. I wanted to share one last idea, again, on the Parsha. And it's, again, something to think about. When you go through Parshas Metzora, Tazria Metzora, you will find that there are three different types of tzaras, three different types of leprosy. And the Mishnayos, when they discuss leprosy, tzaras, they call it negoim. Negoim, the translation for negoim is a plague. That's how they translate the word. And the three types of tzaras, and I'm not going to share my screen, but I'm going to have a blackboard here, if you could just imagine with me for a second, is first tzaras, which is the first 46 psukim in Perek Yud Gimel of our parsha. It's a long discussion, is tzaras haguf, when your body becomes, you get tzaras on your guf. Then the Torah discusses for another 13 psukim until the end of Perek Yud Gimel, tzaras habigodim, the tzaras on your clothing. That's a second tzaras. And then after tzaras begodim, we go back to tzaras haguf, how you purify yourself from tzaras haguf and the various ways of purification. And then at the end, you have something called tzaras habatin, that how that a house can have tzaras. And it's a funny order, because you go tzaras haguf, tzaras begadim, back to tzaras haguf, and then to tzaras habatin. Strange order. If I was writing the Torah, I would have written all of tzaras haguf together, meaning the tumah and the tahara, or discuss all of the tumah, and then at the end discuss all of the tahara. But for some reason, It seems to me that the Torah wants to separate tzaras haguf from tzaras habayis, as if to tell me that these are like two separate and distinct ideas, tzaras haguf, tzaras habayis, and we want to keep them far apart because they're two distinct ideas. And here are those ideas. Chazal understood that when plagues happen, and when even on an individual level, and certainly on a national level, and certainly on a global level, things don't happen stam. They don't happen wantonly. They don't happen for no reason whatsoever. Is plagues, we believe in Hashkachas Hashem, that Hashem runs the world. And when things happen, they happen because of, especially bad things, they happen because of some kind of moral decay. There is decay, and decay needs cleansing. And we need to be awakened and reawakened. Oh, there is decay. And Saras is one of those examples where we see there is a decay somewhere, and Chazal understood it had happened for a reason. So we all know very well why Tzaras HaGuf happens. Chazal links it into Lashon Hara. And we see that from Miriam, for example. Miriam speaks Lashon Hara about her brother Moshe. And as a result of that Lashon Hara, there are consequences that happen to Miriam to awaken her, to remind her, to allow her to rediscover herself. What was I doing wrong? How can I be better? How can I remove this moral decay? Because, again, when we're engaged in certain averos, so there's a consequence. Lashon Hara yields tzaras and demands of us to examine ourselves. What happens to the Metzora? The Metzora has to leave the Machaneh. He has to go away for a week or two, until he kind of thinks about it, and then he can come back. And then he goes through his Tahara process. That's Tzaras HaGuf. Why does Tzaras HaBatin happen? So I want to read to you a Gemara Maseches Yuma and a Medrash in Dvarim Rabbah. The Gemara Maseches Yuma says, why does Tzaras HaBayis happen? Lamali, what happened? Uba ashelo habayis. So the Gemara says, mi shemiyache beiso lo. When a person is selfish about his house, is selfish about his property, eino rotze lahashil kelav. He doesn't want to share with other people. He doesn't want to give other people, lend people his property. And he says, someone asks you for your lawnmower. Someone asks you for a bag of sugar, and you say, aimly, I don't have any. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, send tzaras to your house. And what's the first thing that you have to do when you have tzaras in your house? Well, your house just became this big entity of tumah. So the first thing you have to do is you have to get everything out of your house. So you empty your garage, you empty your living room, your dining room, everything's got to go outside or else it'll become tummy and has to be destroyed. So everything's down the front lawn. And now your neighbors see, ooh, you told me you had no lawnmower? Then what's the lawnmower doing on your front lawn? No sugar? Then how come I see 12 bags of sugar on your front lawn? That's what Chazal say in the Gemara Maseches Yuma. And Dvarim Rabbah echoes this in greater length. Adam Omer l'chaveru hashileni kardomcha, lend me your axe so I can chop wood. And he says, ain lo, I don't have one. That's ayin ra'a. Lend me your sifter. And he says, ain lo. That's ayin ra'a. He's stingy. Miyad bo hanega al beso. A nega afflicts his house. And the Kohen comes and sees the nega, v'nega bakiros, umahu odedu, mifanin, koma shoyelo b'tokabayis. Empty everything in your house. And upidu es abayis, the household is emptied, and then everyone can see. Oh, he's got the axe, he's got the sifter, and omrim ra'isem, and everyone sees, and he's exposed. And this is why tzaras habayis happens. So perhaps one could suggest the following fascinating, I think, idea. You see, when it comes to lashon hara, lashon hara means I am trespassing. I don't have a right to speak about other people. I am going to places in a wrong way where I don't belong. I'm encroaching in his space, in his area. I'm immorally speaking negatively and poorly about another person. I am entering into a space that I shouldn't be entering into. So what does the Torah say? So the Torah says, if you do that, you don't respect the space of others. You don't respect other people. So you go into quarantine. You go into isolation. You have to seclude yourself 2 weeks outside of the machane, all by yourself, because you don't respect the space and the personage of other people, so you have to go away. That's tzaras of lashon hara, tzaras haguf. But then we have something else called tzaras habayis. And tzaras habayis is the exact opposite. Is you're selfish. You have property that people need. You have things that people could use. You could share with others. You could lend others. You could reach out to others. But what did you use your house for? You closed yourself into your house. You had an attitude, what we call midas sdom. Sheli, sheli. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it to myself. And I'm not going to share. I'm not going to give others. So you were the exact opposite. You didn't want to engage. You closed in on yourself. You locked everyone out. So then the Torah says, tzaras habayis. And now you'll be exposed. You'll be forced to show your hand, to show everything that you have, to put it out on your yard, and everything is out for everyone to see. So Chazal understand that plagues, nega'im, they happen because of some kind of moral flaw. And they're setting up in our parsha two different extremes, perhaps even opposite extremes, but are both flawed. One is when we don't respect the space of others, lashon hara, and the consequence is michutz lamachane. You get expelled outside and you live by yourself, quarantine. And the other is, you didn't engage properly with society. You didn't share. You don't give of yourself. You used your house too much as, hey, this is just me. This is my space. I'm not sharing with others. And then the walls of your house get opened for everyone to see, and you become exposed. So that's tzaras. That's our parsha. I have no brilliant messages for you. But I do know one thing. I could tell you one thing. And maybe I'll share with you one thing that I shared with my shir this morning. And that is that this thing that we're going through, this crazy, crazy matzav that we're in, a matzav of negun. The world is plagued, and there's Nagarm, there's a plague in the world. All I can tell you is it's not happening for nothing. It's happening because Hashem is sending us a message. One message he's sending us is, I run the world. And be aware of that. Be aware of that. A little microscopic thing can shut it all down. And at the same time, we identify, perhaps we're quarantined, we're in our homes, because maybe we're not engaging properly with other people. Either, maybe we trespass, maybe we go to places we shouldn't be, maybe our social media lives are too, cyber bullying, cyber this, maybe that, maybe we're We have a selfishness to us. Maybe we don't use our homes properly, and therefore we cannot engage with each other. We're being sent messages. And just something to think about how we apply it. I don't know. I'm not one of those saying it's happening because of this. I don't have any such insights, and certainly no hubris to think I understand. But I do. What I do understand is we have to learn from it. And I just, as I shared with my morning shear, I'd like to share with you. I received an email early this week from a son of a friend of mine. The son's name is Moshe, and he's a soldier in the army. And he's about 24, 25 years old. And he had plans. He had a lot of plans from before Pesach, as we all had plans. And his plans were to be with his family, this, that, and the other thing, and a whole lot of plans. And of course, Hashem had many, many other plans. And one of the plans Hashem had for him was he was not going to be home for the Siddurim, even though he was planning on being home for the Siddurim. And the reason he was not going to be home for the Siddurim is because he was in quarantine on a base because his commander contracted COVID-19 and he now was exposed or something, so he had to quarantine. And the army put all soldiers that had to be quarantined together on a certain base. And he couldn't be with his family for Pesach. So what that meant was he was planning on being with his family for Pesach, and he ended up probably being in what might have been the biggest Seder in the world. Because most of us have Seders with, you know, our immediate families. And he had a Seder with tens, perhaps hundreds of soldiers who were in this quarantine. And they had Seder together. And he said they were Datiyim and secular Jews and Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, and Temanim, and Chasi, all different minhagim, and all different practices, and he said it was probably the most memorable Seder of his life. And then, unfortunately, he contracted coronavirus. And it was a mild case, Baruch Hashem, but a mild case is still a case. And he contracted the virus, and it was not simple. And he describes how his breathing was challenging. It was not simple. And there were struggles, but it was a mild case. And what I'd like to do is just share with you just a note that he wrote about his case and how he dealt with his case. And again, to me, a very, very inspiring message. He had a number of messages, but I'm just going to share with you one. He quotes a Medrash, and the Medrash is found in the Medrash Rabbah in Maseches Bereishis, in Parshas Bereishis. And the Medrash has the following statement in the name of Rav Chanina, that we have to thank Hashem, al kol neshima uneshima sha'adam noshem tzarech lekales laboro. On every single breath that we take, we have to praise and thank Hashem. My taima. What is the reason for that? Because the pasuk says, "Kol haneshama tahalel ka." Every neshama should praise God, and we darshan kol neshima tahalel ka. For every neshima, for every breath, we should praise and thank Hashem. And then he describes. I'm going to read his words. He says, "There's a similarity between the word neshama and neshima, and one of the symptoms of COVID is shortness of breath and chest pain, mainly in the lungs. And for about a week," he writes, "every breath I took was labored and required effort. Something we usually do subconsciously was now for me a conscious activity. And once it passed, I suddenly found myself thinking more and more about those same breaths that I had been pretty much ignoring up until then. On average," he writes, "we take one breath every 4 or 5 seconds. And that comes out to about 20,000 breaths a day. Most of us breathe instinctively. Yet the Medrash says that we should praise Hashem for each and every breath we take. Now I'm able to breathe fully and with ease once again. But I truly understand this Medrash. A breath which is one of the simplest things and actions that we do, is a miracle and must be appreciated. So I think that's a very profound message. There are a lot of messages, but I will leave you with this message, is that we have to really learn to appreciate everything that we have. And a lot of people, unfortunately, there are people sitting Shiva now, and again, you know what's going on. You know what's going on. I don't have to repeat. But we have to appreciate even kol ha-nishama, kol nishima tahalel ka, to thank Hashem for the ability to breathe, to thank Hashem for Baruch Hashem, if, you know, being healthy and being able to learn, and even if it's not ideal, being able to accomplish, and also to figure out, because the sooner we can figure out what to learn, how to be better, how to take whatever, listen to the messages that so many people are sharing. Some might connect to you, some might not connect to you. But as we learn from our parasha, Tazria Metzora, is that when a person gets tzaras, whether it's tzaras haguf or tzaras habayis, there's a message, there's a moral, it's coming because of a moral message. There's something to take away. There's an idea of either I'm trespassing, I'm not sharing, I'm being selfish. And also understand that we are our religion. Other religions, they're into Olam Haba. We're into Olam Haba too, but we're really into Olam Hazeh. And to maximize our capabilities in Olam Hazeh, that death equals Tumah, and life, and Chayim, and V'chai Bohem is Tahara. And we should strive for Tahara, and strive for life, and celebrate life, and celebrate each other, and celebrate our friendships, and celebrate our opportunities. And Bez Hashem, we do that, we will, again, look back at this time, in a year from now, in 5 years from now, in 20 years from now, we'll tell our children, in 25, you'll tell them, Yitz Hashem, your little grandchildren. I lived through this pandemic of 2020, and I grew from it. I learned from it. I became a better person because of it. It was tough. It was challenging. I didn't like it. But I understood that I emerged from it a better person, a more accomplished person, a person who respected other people, who loved other people, who appreciated my relationships. And Be'ez Hashem, we do that, it'll all be worth it. We'll see Hashem's wisdom in the bigger picture. And we should all, as I mentioned, the most important thing I want to share with you is you should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos Kodesh. And I look forward to seeing everyone on Sunday, Be'ez Hashem, continuing our experiences together, because that's what it's all about. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Wonderful Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Thank you, Rabbi. Good Shabbos. Thank you so much, Rabbi.